Good morning, everyone. My name's Steph. I want to welcome you to our Gateway meeting this morning. I would love to be able to say it's great to see you all, but obviously I can't. All that I can actually see now is my own face looking back at me, which is a little bit awkward. But having said that, I also really, really appreciate the fact that we can still have church in these strange times, that we can still connect together, we can still share the good news about Jesus, we can still get to see one another. And the thing that really, really excites me is that perhaps you're watching this from your home where you've never been to a church before, or it's been a very long time since you've been in a church. So if that's you this morning, I just want to welcome you. Obviously, church doesn't normally go this way, but you're very welcome to join us, and I really pray that God would speak to you and minister to you through what he wants to say this morning and the message that I feel that he's put on my heart to bring and to share with everyone today. So as you may or may not be aware, we've been studying a series of scriptures recently whereby Jesus is making a statement about himself. Jesus makes lots of statements in the Bible, but throughout the book of John, he makes 7 I am statements. And today we're going to be looking at the statement where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So we're kind of getting a 3-for-1 here. We're getting a 3-in-1 deal, if you like, because Jesus says these 3 things, and we're going to look individually at what each of these mean. It's from John 14, verse 6, if you were looking in your Bible, if you wanted to follow it all. Now it goes without saying, I think, that we are living in really, really unprecedented times at the moment. I don't know how often we hear that phrase on the news, that this is all unprecedented and the government are in an unprecedented situation and society has never been this way before. And, you know, a lot of people have a lot of very real, very genuine worries and fears and concerns at the moment. And, you know, you might be fearful and you might be questioning, what if I get this disease? What if somebody who I love gets this disease? What if I lose my job and I can't pay the mortgage and we end up homeless? What if I can't provide for my children? What if, what's life going to look like when we get back to normal? You know, and these are all very, very real fears that we face at the moment. And I don't want to devalue any of those worries, because that's the society that we're living in right now. But one thing that we do know is that the Bible, which is the true word of God, the Bible tells us that that nothing on this earth is certain. We're told that we can't trust in earthly things because earthly things change and earthly things are not, they're not reliable. We can't rely on things of this earth. You know, I was going for a walk the other day and I was just looking around me and I thought, wow, it's amazing that these trees still come into blossom. And they were beautiful. They were absolutely stunning. And I thought, the things, nature is carrying on as it was. Nature's not impacted by this. The beauty of things that are around us, they haven't been impacted, but our lives have changed massively and so drastically. But the seasons carry on and time carries on, and we have to have a way of getting through this and getting over it. And that's something that I'm excited about, because this morning's message is that Jesus tells us that he's the way, the truth, and the life. You know, maybe if we could just be confident that there was a way to get through this, that there was a truth. There are so many rumours and conspiracy theories and all sorts of things that are going on at the moment. So maybe we're just searching for truth right now. Maybe we're searching for life. Maybe we're thinking, God, all this going on, what is the point? What is the point of life? What's the real meaning of life? And I am privileged and excited to share with you this morning what Jesus has got to say about those things, because maybe if we get a grasp of what Jesus has got to say, then we'll have the peace and we'll have the encouragement from heaven that we really need to be able to not just get through this time, but to get through whatever comes our way, whatever life throws at us. So this statement that Jesus makes about being the way, the truth and the life, it comes just before Jesus' death. Now, Jesus knows that he's about to be betrayed by Judas. He knows that he's about to be crucified, and he's meeting with all his friends, his closest, his nearest and dearest. And I think we can deduce from that that what Jesus says in this discourse is really, really important, and it's really profound. You know, people like to make sure that their last words are something which are going to have an impact, and that their dying words are words of wisdom and are words that are going to bring hope to people. So that's the situation that Jesus and his disciples find himself in now. And Jesus is explaining to his disciples that he needs to go somewhere and he's going away. But his disciples don't understand, and they say, but we want to come with you. And obviously we know that Jesus is talking about the fact that he's going to be with the Father and he's going to heaven. So at this time, the disciples can't go. But I just want to read some of this scripture first so that we can get a real context of what Jesus means and the setting into which he's speaking right now. So I'm going to read from John 13, verse 33, and I'm going to go down to John 14, verse 7. Normally I'd wait to see if everyone has got there, but obviously I can't do that. So I hope that you've found where we're reading from. And if not, just listen and I'll read it out anyway. Okay, so John 13, verse 33, it says, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have told you, so you must love one another. By all this, men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth. Before the cock crows, you will disown me 3 times. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you away to be with me, so that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." But Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him." So we've set the scene. We know that Jesus is talking with his disciples, with those that he spent probably most of his ministry with on earth. And as I've said, that the verse that we're going to concentrate on is where Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. So first of all, I just want to look at when Jesus says, I am the way. Now, in the original text, this word way, it means a road or a journey. So what Jesus is saying is that I am the road to the final destination. I am, come through me and I will lead you to the final destination. And we might need to ask ourselves here, well, the way to what? What does Jesus mean? What's he talking about when he says he's the way? He's the way to where? And after reading that scripture there and reading the background, I think it becomes quite clear that Jesus is answering possibly one of the oldest questions that mankind has, you know, probably one of the oldest questions that we ask ourselves is, how do we get to heaven? How do we get to know God? How do we get to know the Father in heaven? What is the answer to eternal life? And there are whole religions which are based upon doctrines of doing enough good works in order to get to heaven, or praying hard enough to get to heaven, or learning enough and being knowledgeable enough to get to heaven. But here, Jesus is saying, I am the way to heaven. I am the way to the Father. And for me, that just takes so much responsibility off me, because it's not about me and what I do. The quest of getting to heaven is not my responsibility. It's already been done because of Jesus, and because Jesus said, I am the way. You know, Jesus doesn't just know the way. He is the way. He doesn't just want to give us directions and tell us how to get to heaven or tell us how to get to the Father, but Jesus is the way to get to the Father. And it kind of reminded me, I was trying to think of an analogy somehow, and forgive me because this is a loose analogy, but it made me think of when I went to Australia to visit a friend a couple of years ago, and I arrived at the airport and had all my luggage and my bags, and she was there to meet me, and she took my luggage, she took the bags off me, she took me to her car, she sat me down in her car, and she drove me to her home. She drove me to the place where she lives, the place that she knows, the place where she grew up, in fact. And in a way, Jesus is doing exactly the same to us. He wants to meet us exactly where we're at. He wants to, right now, he wants to take your baggage. He wants to take your past. He wants to take your fears. He wants to take your worries. He wants to take all that emotional stress and strain. Jesus wants to take all that. He wants to then sit next to you, and he wants to drive you to be with the Father. You know, my friend could have said, oh, well, when you get at the airport, you can take a train, and then you get off the train at this station, then you'll have to get a bus and get off at this stop. Then if you walk a couple of 100 meters up the road and take a right. But she didn't. She came and she met me where I was. And Jesus wants to do the same for you. He's done the same for me. And it's wonderful. There's no feeling like letting Jesus take control and acknowledging that he is the way. He doesn't just know the way, he is the way. And, you know, I don't know about you, but when I get lost, if I ask someone for directions, okay, that's one thing, that's okay. But if that person is to get in my car with me and say, oh, actually, it's fine, I can take you the way, that's 1,000 times better. And that's what Jesus wants to do for us. He wants to come alongside us. He wants to sit in the driver's seat. He wants to take the driver's wheel, and he wants to lead you to his home, to be with his father, which is just absolutely wonderful. There's a word that comes just before way, and before moving on, I just want to concentrate on that for just a moment, and that is the word, the very short word. Don't know how many times we must say it a day, but it's really, in this context, it's really, really important. Jesus doesn't say, I am a way, or he doesn't say, I am one of the ways. What Jesus is in fact saying is, I am the only way to the Father. And you know, we live in a very inclusive society. We live in a society where anything goes. You can believe what you want. There are plenty of ways that lead to God. But as a Christian and as believing in the Bible and what the Bible says that that is not true. That is not the case. In Acts 14, verse 12, it says, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. So the only name that can save us is the name of Jesus. He is the only one who died for our sins, and he's therefore the only one that can save us from our sins. Okay, if I move on to the truth. So we know that Jesus is the way. He's now stating that he is the truth. And again, we live in a society where we're told that all the time. We're told, well, truth is relative. Truth is what you want it to be. If you believe something enough, then that's okay. That must be true for you. If you believe that you're a tree, then that's okay. You must be a tree if that's what you believe. And I know I'm pushing the parameters here, but that to me, it seems like that's where we're going. But I want to say that there is something such as absolute truth. By definition, truth is that which conforms to actual reality. So by definition, truth has to be absolute. You know, there is no middle ground. There's no middle way. And Jesus, that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, I am the truth. The truth can only be found in me. And in this pandemic that we're living through, there are, as I said earlier, there are so many conspiracy theories. There are so many questions. There's so much uncertainty. But one thing that we can truly, truly rely on is Jesus, because he is completely true. He's always true. He is the truth. 1 John 5 verse 20 says, and we know that that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God, and he is eternal life. Which quite nicely brings me on to the final statement that Jesus makes, where he states that he is the life. And again, if I just go back to the original text, the word life here is referring to everlasting life. It's referring to eternal life. So what Jesus isn't promising is that when you come to him, life is going to be easy, and that Christians aren't going to go through the same things that everybody else goes through, that life isn't going to be tough and difficult. Those things are still going to happen. Jesus doesn't promise us otherwise, but what he does promise us is a life of godliness and a life of peace, because we know that we have eternal life in him. Jesus is saying that my life has paid enough for you. My life has paid the price. My life has paid the sacrifice. You know, if we just think back to the Old Testament, and the Old Testament was written before Jesus came, and it was before Jesus was born. So the beginning of the Old Testament talks a lot about how God called his own people and how God set the foundations for Judaism and how he wanted the Jews to live. And he gave them lots and lots of laws and commandments and statutes and decrees on how they should live. And we often think of the Ten Commandments, but there are, in fact, 613 commandments that God gives the Jews. And God knew that that this would be impossible for the Jews to live this way. So he also, as part of the law, he told the Jews what to do when they sinned and when they broke some of these commandments. And the way that they could be atoned for their sin was by sacrifice and was by the shedding of the blood of an animal. And the Jewish people had to do this often when they'd broken laws and when they'd broken commandments. And I feel that God, that Jesus, when he says, "I am the life," it's like he is saying, "I am the sacrifice. My life means that you don't have to do all those sacrifices anymore." It was so relevant in the Jewish religion and in Jewish culture. So for Jesus to say, "I am the life," Jesus is saying that I have made the ultimate sacrifice. I have paid the price for all your sins. So wherever you are, whatever you've done, there's no sin that Jesus can't forgive. There's no sin that his blood doesn't cover. He's stepped into the gap and he's died so that we don't have to. You know, by nature, we're all sinners. We're born into a sinful world, and by default, we're sinners. So we all need forgiveness. We all need to receive Jesus's life, because his life paid the ultimate price for our sin. And just as I come to close, to sort of wrap all this together, I just want to focus on the very last part of that verse that says, "No one comes to the Father except through me." So we've already established that Jesus is the only way, that Jesus is the truth, and that he is the life. There are no other means by which you can be reconciled to God and forgiven for your sins. You know, there's no other path that you can take that is going to bypass God's judgment. There's no way around God's judgment other than through accepting Jesus. And the work has been done. You know, we so often try and add on a little bit extra and think, "Well, I know Jesus died for me, but I'm sure if I just do this, then I'll definitely get to heaven and I'll definitely be safe and I'll definitely be saved." And this morning, I really feel that God wants to speak directly to two groups of people. First of all, I feel that there are those of us that do know God. We do know Jesus. We've already accepted him as the way, the truth, and the life. But sometimes we do add on those little bit of extras, and we do think that maybe sometimes the cross isn't enough. Well, I feel that this morning God wants to release you of that. He wants to take those lies that you've believed, and he wants to cast them into hell where they belong, because you come to Jesus, you confess that he's Lord and he's Saviour, and the striving can stop. You don't need to strive this morning. You don't need to strive again. You can know, you can go through all this turbulence of coronavirus and this pandemic, and you can know the peace of God, the wonderful, wonderful peace of God, without trying to strive or prove your self-worth. I really feel that God wants to bring release and freedom for you if that's what you're feeling this morning. And then secondly, I just want to take the opportunity that if there's anybody watching this who doesn't yet know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, if there's anybody that maybe you have heard this before, but you you've never accepted it fully for yourself, maybe you've the first time you've ever heard anything like this, then this is an invitation for you as well this morning, to turn to Jesus and to acknowledge that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. He is the way to heaven. He is the truth that we can stand on when life gets hard and when we're self-isolating and we're lonely. He is the truth that we can hold on to. And he is the life. That means that he's paid the sacrifice for all our sins. He died so that we can have life. So I just want to pray. I'd like to pray, first of all, for those of us that do know God, but have got a little bit stuck in a works mentality. Father, I thank you that you love us enough to just bring us back to the truth of who you are, Father. God, I thank you that your sacrifice on the cross was enough for us. Thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you that when we have you, Jesus, when we've accepted you, when we've acknowledged you, Father, we don't need to strive and push ourselves, and we don't need to do anything to earn your salvation, God, because Jesus, you've paid it all. And Father, I just want to speak release this morning, God, for those of us who are trapped in a sense of that we're not worthy enough, God, that we still have to keep trying to do things to earn your love and to earn salvation. And Father, I just want to break those things off of us in Jesus' name. And secondly, if you fall into that second category, I would, if you feel that you want to commit yourself to Jesus, if you feel that that this is true, you know, there's something in this, that it would be wonderful to know Jesus, and it really, really is, then I'd like to have the opportunity to pray with you as well. So if that's you, just feel free to pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross for me. I thank you that you rose again. I thank you that you paid the price for all of my sins. I acknowledge that I've fallen short of what you called us to be, God. I acknowledge that I am a sinner and I repent of my sins right now, God. I ask for your forgiveness, Father, and I want to give my life to you and ask that you would come and live in my heart so that I may know you as the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you've prayed that this morning, then it would be great to hear from you. We've got a website, we've got telephone numbers. Any more questions, please get in touch. And for everybody else, I hope you have a great day. Thank you for watching, and I hope somehow I get to see you all soon. Bye.